Good morning, everyone. My guess is every one of us have a place like this. It's a place where you go when life is good. It's a seat that you sit in. When you sit down in that seat, you're at peace, you're tranquil, you're reminded of the blessings and the gifts of life. And when you sit in that seat, maybe even in private, there's something of a smile that comes on your face. Now, I don't know for you. Sometimes that happens for me when it's football season and I sit down in front of a Packer football game. Not that they're great or anything, but it takes me back to a time and place as a kid. It brings back emotions and memories and feelings, and to see one of my daughters run out wearing a Packer jersey or something like that. I sit in that place and I go, man, things are good today. Maybe for some of you, it's when you sit behind the wheel of a car that you've been restoring for some time. And as you ride down the road, you notice that a lot of other people are taking note of the fact that you've spent a lot of time on that car. And you sit behind that wheel and you hold that steering wheel and you just grin from ear to ear because there's something that's just so right about life in that moment when you're in that place. For some of us, maybe that's a desk at work or maybe a desk at home, and we sit and we look over our successes. We look over the things that we've been able to accomplish in life, and we look over those things and we think, man, life is good. Life is great. I'm successful. I am achieving the things that I was hired to do here, or I'm achieving the things that we hoped we would achieve as a family. And as I sit behind this desk, as I sit in this leather desk chair, I'm reminded that things are good here. Maybe for some of us, it's when we're at a stadium or we're sitting in a seat, maybe at an Orlando City soccer game, and we sit in there and we take in the sights and the smells. We take in the lights and the energy of those around us, and we sit there and we think, man, could it get any better than this? Could it get any more exciting than this? To be here right now with thousands of my closest friends cheering on this team, could it be any better than what it is right now? Maybe for some of us, it's when we sit at the dinner table with our family. And as we sit around that table, we look around at the faces that are around that table, and we talk about the day or we talk about the week, and we ask the question, could it be any better than this? In this moment, could life be any better than what it is right now? I got to be honest with you, as a dad right now, to be able to pick up my little Amelia and just hold her and have her smile at me, I look at her and I think, this is it. Like, there's not something I'm hoping to get to one day where life is going to be great. This is it, like what I'm holding right here. I don't know what that seat looks like for you. I don't know where that place is for you. Today, as we continue our series on the 12, we're going to talk about a disciple by the name of Nathanael. Nathanael's name is not mentioned in any of the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They don't mention Nathanael. The best the scholars can do is they believe that Nathanael in those other Gospels went by the name of Bartholomew. Well, by the time we get to John chapter 1, we're introduced to this character named Nathanael. And gang, there's not a whole lot about Nathanael in there, but what's in there is extremely significant. And so right there in John chapter 1, we see Nathanael, we find Nathanael. And John tells us that Nathanael's sitting underneath a fig tree when we encounter him. Now, back in the day, it wasn't uncommon for someone to sit under a fig tree in order to spend time alone with God. Scholars tell us that oftentimes people would sit under a fig tree in order to pray, because fig trees were these kind of low-hanging trees with very large leaves that provided great shade. And so one could go under the brush and one could get under the fig tree and experience the shade and the refuge from the heat of the sun. And we have every reason to believe that as Nathanael was hanging out under this fig tree, that something significant's going on under there. We have every reason to believe that Nathanael was a pretty good guy. That in fact, whatever was happening under there was probably wholesome. And that on some level, maybe even Nathanael was already in his life trying to please God, trying to do things that would please God, trying to do things that would make life easier for others and put him in a right relationship with God. Well, here's the thing. Nathanael is sitting under a fig tree while simultaneously his friend Philip is getting found by Jesus, right? So if you were here last week, we talked a little bit about that. We talked about the story of Philip and how Jesus encountered Philip. And as Nathanael was sitting under this fig tree, his friend Philip is off getting found by Jesus. And something very cool happens. Philip has this encounter with Jesus, and in direct response to Philip meeting Jesus and Jesus saying, come follow me, Philip does what a lot of us do when something really cool happens. We talked a little bit about this last week as we celebrated Pastor Travis and Laura's wedding engagement. Something happens when we find out good news, and we talked a little bit about it last week. Philip's response was to go find his friend Nathanael and tell him. In case you didn't know, that's sometimes how it works. Sometimes when someone gets found by Jesus, they in fact turn and they want to go start telling others. And maybe that's our family, maybe that's our friends, but there's this excitement about us. There's this excitement within us that when we get found, we want to tell others about it. We want to let others know because good news is worth sharing. We share a lot of things with friends, right? Deodorant, toothpaste, right? Yeah. We have some things worth sharing with our friends. And we have every reason to believe that Philip and Nathanael grew up together. They grew up in the town of Bethsaida. It was a little fishing village. And here's the thing. You try to encapsulate this. You know, we live in Waterford, kind of the backside of Waterford. We're not too far from Bithlow and Christmas. And I kind of grew up in Bithlow and Christmas, except it was in South Carolina, right? But Philip and Nathanael were from the place where, seriously, guys would have been wearing camo and driving 4x4s. Right? We don't see it around here as much, but when I grew up, there were dog boxes on everybody's truck because they would run dogs through the woods so they could deer hunt, things like that. This was the kind of place that Philip and Nathanael grew up in, a place where Bass Pro and Cabela's would have just thrived as businesses. And so while these two friends, they probably had a lot in common when they grew up together, there were some pretty big differences too, though. One of the things that stands out, though, is the difference between them is how the story of faith kind of unfolds in their lives. Even though they grew up in the same town, no doubt had a lot of family traditions and things in common. When Jesus encounters Philip, something pretty cool happens. Philip immediately, off the bat, off the top, says, yeah, I want that. Jesus, whatever it is you're calling me to, you're calling me to follow, you're calling me to be a disciple, that's exactly what I want. And almost instantaneously, Philip gets up and he goes. He follows Jesus. There isn't any indication in Scripture whatsoever that as Jesus was calling Philip, that Philip grabbed the pew in front of him and held on. You know, there isn't any indication that Philip said, well, Jesus, I'll follow you, but please don't send me to the foreign mission field, you know. There's no indication that he called Philip to follow and Philip said, well, I will. Just don't make me give up any sports. Don't make me give up any habits. Don't make me give up any hang. Just let me follow. There's no indication of that. There's the indication that Jesus called Philip and Philip got up and he went. That was a subtle difference, though, between Philip's life and Nathanael's life. For Philip, faith came pretty easy. By the time we encounter Nathanael, though, it seems as though Nathanael is a bit of a skeptic about this whole faith in Jesus thing. You see, not everyone is a Philip. Not everyone is just chomping at the bit for a new way of life, a way of life that is going to radically alter our world. Not everybody's just waiting on that to come by so we can just grab and go with wherever Jesus might lead. And Nathanael was one of those individuals. You see, even though we have every reason to believe that Nathanael was a good guy, maybe good things were happening under that fig tree, when by the time Philip comes and tells Nathanael that he found the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who is the Son, the Messiah, the one we've been waiting on, something happens in Nathanael, and it's not Nathanael's first reaction to go, oh, okay, well, let's just get up and go, and let's just follow after that guy. In fact, Nathanael's response was, can anything good come from Nazareth? You see, Philip told Nathanael that he encountered Jesus, the one who is the Messiah, the one who was to come, and he's from the town of Nazareth. And Nathanael's immediate response was, can anything good come from Nazareth? See, Nazareth wasn't a place you'd want to be from back in the day. Nazareth was a cross town. Nazareth was the place you didn't want to come from. Nazareth was the place that you didn't want to associate with if you lived in Bethsaida. And so Philip comes along and he tells Nathanael, he says, we found the Messiah. He's from Nazareth. And Nathanael says, can anything good come from Nazareth? And Philip has a very simple reply. He says, why don't you come and see? Why don't you come and see for yourself if anything good can come from Nazareth? And church, I can tell you this. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was curiosity alone. I don't know if it was some great respect that Nathanael had for Philip, or maybe the very Spirit of God was drawing Nathanael. But something happened under that fig tree that made Nathanael get up and actually take his friend at his word to go see if there was something more to life, if there was something greater that he had missed. Very quickly, do you ever, maybe when you're in that special chair, maybe when you're in that special place, but sometimes maybe not, do you ever step back and ask, is there anything more to this thing called life? Am I experiencing life to its fullest? Am I experiencing life in its abundance that Jesus promised? Or is there something more that I should be experiencing? Something more that I should be feeling? Something more that I should be living? And gang, I got to tell you, that's a very honest question for me. 38 years old, I'm asking the question, is this it? Is my walk with God, is my relationships with my family, my relationships with my church, my relationships with my friend, is this it? Or is there anything more that God has for me? Are there any greater depths to which God is calling me? And friends, I ask you that same question this morning. Are you experiencing all the fullness of what God has for you as you live life for Him? Here's something pretty cool. We find Nathanael. If you got your Bibles, pull them out. We're about to use them. We find Nathanael sitting under this fig tree. Some scholars tell us this was probably a place of prayer. Some scholars tell us that absolutely this would have been a place of shade. Some scholars tell us this would have been a place where somebody could get some alone time and maybe take a nap, maybe hang out. Maybe meditate on the word. But here's the thing. When you open up your Bibles to the Old Testament, we get a much different picture of the fig tree. Here's what happens. If you have your Bible, open up with me to 1 Kings chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter 4. I'll wait till the pages stop rustling. This won't be on the screen, so just hang with me if you don't have your word with you today. We're going to read about three passages that are very important for us. 1 Kings chapter 4. God made a promise to Abram back in Genesis. He told Abram, he said, your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. By the time we get to 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 20, here's where the writer starts. He's talking about the fact that the Lord is going to be providing provision for the people of God. So here's what he says. He says, the people of Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They ate, they drank, and they were happy. Right? Who doesn't want some of that? Eat, drink, and be merry. Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the Euphrates River to the land of the Philistines as far as the border of Egypt. These countries brought tribute and were Solomon's subjects all his life. So Solomon's ruling over a lot of people, a lot of stuff going right, a lot of goodness happened, a lot of stuff flowing, food and wine and provision. Solomon's daily provisions were 30 cores of the finest flour, 60 cores of meal, 10 head of stall-fed cattle, 20 of pasture-fed cattle, and 100 sheep and goats, as well as deer, gazelles, roebucks, and choice fowl. In other words, they weren't going hungry, gang. For he ruled over all the kingdoms west of the Euphrates River from Tisha to Gaza and had peace on all sides. In other words, they not only have all the food they need, the wine's flowing like honey. Guess what? They don't have any enemies surrounding them. They have allies surrounding them. Life is good. Things are well. They're in this little country, and it couldn't get any better, and their surroundings are awesome. So here we go. Peace on all sides, verse 25. During Solomon's lifetime, Judah and Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, lived in safety. During Solomon's lifetime, all these countries, all these lands, all these nations, they lived in safety. Everyone under their own vine and fig tree. Do you hear that? Life is good. Life is great. Life is grand. It could not get any better. In fact, there's cattle. There's plenty of food to go around. There's plenty of drink to go around. Just be happy. Just be safe. Just be prosperous. And guess what? Everybody has an opportunity to sit under their own vine and their own fig tree. And the church said, no, you don't. You said, what are you talking about, Dwayne? Okay, here we go. Flip over to Micah chapter 4. One of our minor prophets, Micah chapter 4. Almost to the very end of your Old Testament there, not quite to the end. Here we go. Micah chapter 4, you there? People with your iPhones and your iPads, you there? And see, if you were a jerk, you could just sit out there all morning and rustle your pages and we'd never get through this thing. Micah chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Here we go. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills and people will stream to it. In other words, the Lord is going to establish his kingdom and everybody's going to want to come and be a part of it. Verse 2. Many nations will come and they will say, come. Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. The ultimate signature of peace right there in the scripture. We'll take our guns, we'll take our weapons, and we'll turn them into things that actually grow food for people. Verse 4, everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. When the Lord sets up his mountain, all the weapons for war are going to be turned into things that can help to grow food for all people, and everyone will have their own vine and their own fig tree to sit under. Guess what? Things are going to be great. Things are going to be grand. Things are going to be awesome when that happens. You with me? All right, let's flip over to Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3, starting at verse 6. Here we go. The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you will walk in obedience to me and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you a place among these standing here. Listen. High Priest Joshua, you and your associates seated before you, you are her symbolic of things to come. I'm going to bring my servant, the branch. See, the stone I have set in front of you, Joshua. There are seven eyes on that one stone, and I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord Almighty, and I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. And that day, each of you will invite your neighbor to sit under your vine and fig tree, declares the Lord Almighty. So Joshua's going to be put in place. The Lord's going to be at Joshua's right arm. And Joshua is going to reign and rule in such a way so that everybody has their own vine and their own fig tree. So here's the deal. We get up to John chapter 1 and we find Nathanael sitting under the fig tree. Scholars would tell us that maybe this was a place of prayer, maybe this was a place of shade. When we go back to the Old Testament, the fig tree represents really kind of two things. It represents great prosperity in one's life, and it represents great peace coming from all sides. You see, here's the deal. When you're sitting under your fig tree, you're not worried about the next meal's coming from. You're not worried about what your family's going to eat. You're not worried about how you're going to pay bills. When you're sitting under the fig tree, you're not worried about what kind of clothes you're going to wear. You're not worried about how you can pay tuition. You're not worried about how you can help someone else, because when you're sitting under the fig tree, things are great, things are good, things are grand, and you know that the provision is coming. The provision is coming. The provision is coming. One of the other cool things about the fig tree is when you're sitting under the fig tree, you're probably not sitting there with a weapon beside you, because when you're under the fig tree, you're not concerned about those who are coming around you, right? When you're sitting under the fig tree, you know that those around you are at peace with you. You know that those around you are secure with you. You know you can trust those around you when you're sitting under the fig tree. And I got to be honest with you, gang. There are times in my life when if I'm not careful, maybe my weaker moments, I sit in one of my special chairs, and if I'm not careful, I may dare to say how good life is. Could it get any better than this? And so it kind of scares me when I flip open to John chapter 1, and we see this figure, Nathanael, one who obviously looks down his nose a little bit at others. Can anything good come from Nazareth? And we find Nathanael sitting in this posture of what? Not shade, not simply prayer. We find Nathanael in this posture of security, prosperity, and peace. And gang, who wouldn't want to live in security and prosperity and peace all the days of your life? Amen? Well, here's the problem. Jesus sees Nathanael sitting under that fig tree. And I probably got a little bit of Nathanael in me when I, like Nathanael, want to say, "No, Jesus, don't come messing with me. I'm under my fig tree. I'm experiencing security and prosperity and peace. Life is good for me. Don't you come messing with me. Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Something happened in John chapter 1 before Nathanael ever encountered Jesus, before Nathanael ever saw Jesus. You know what John tells us? Jesus saw Nathanael under that tree. Gang, some of us today, I know we're dealing with stuff, but some of us today, if we're not careful, we sit under our little fig trees of life and we think, this is it. This is as good as it gets. This is as good as life could be for us. Can I tell you that today Jesus sees where you are? And can I tell you that today Jesus has the audacity to come to each and every one of us in the midst of our peace and our security and our provision and our safety and our comfortable lifestyles? Jesus has the audacity to come to us and say, "Follow me." And that's a very scary place to be, church, because you know what he's saying? He's saying, come out wherever you are. You're under the fig tree, aren't you? I see you under there. Guess what? I've got something so much greater for you. I've got so much more for you. And it could be that our finest moments in life are not sitting at an Orlando City soccer game or sitting behind the wheel of a restored car. It could be that the finest moments in life aren't even just sitting around the dinner table with our family, as great and precious as that is. It could be that the only place to be is right there behind Jesus, following him wherever he might lead us. And for some of us, that is a very scary proposition, because we're very, very comfortable under our fig tree. Can I get an amen now, church? But friends, here's the deal. Jesus sees you. He sees your hurt. He sees your shame. He sees your pain. He sees all your victories that you celebrate. He sees those plaques on your wall and those trophies that you've hidden in a box in your closet. He knows everything about you, the good, the bad, the ugly. And it's to people just like us that Jesus comes along and says, "Won't you just follow me? Won't you follow me? There's so much more than sitting under this fig tree. Nathanael, come and follow me." When Jesus has his encounter with Nathanael, he sees Nathanael and he says, "Look, here's a true Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael was a good guy. Jesus himself looked at Nathanael and said, "Here's an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael was a good guy. And church, I want to tell you today, God's got something more for us than simply being good men and women. There's more. there's more. And when we get up and we follow after him, he calls us into this life where he is king. He calls us into this life where he is the anointed. He calls us into this life where he calls the shots. And friends, I believe that is the only posture in which we can live life faithfully. It's very difficult to get up and follow Jesus and to stay under our fig tree at the same time. Amen. You know, this morning, as Pastor Alyssa was praying, she was praying for our teens at NYC. I can tell just from social media that NYC seems to be going well. It doesn't mean that there aren't some students there that are not experiencing a good time or having fun. And I understand. I get all that. But this morning, as I'm thinking about the life of Nathaniel, as I'm thinking about my own life, as I'm thinking about the body of Christ that God has gathered here at Centerpoint, Pastor Alyssa's praying this morning for these teens, and I'm thinking about those four that we have there, and not just specifically for those four, but those four as they represent the rest of us, and all I can think in those moments, all I can pray in those moments are call them out. Call them out. Call them out. However good life is for them right now, call them out to something greater. However fun life is right now, call them out to something greater. However cool and comfortable and secure life is right now, call them out to something greater. And I have no doubt, church, that some of us, we could sit in here right now and we could say, you know what, my job, this is it. This is my fig tree. And Jesus wants to come along to us and say, you know what, it's cool that you've been selling that product for years. God, I want you to go do this. It could be that some of us, we find our security in our values and our beliefs, and we're just right here, and this is where, and Jesus wants to say, hey, come on out, I want you to follow me. Life is much bigger than that. It could be that we've gathered our little clusters or our little clubs, and we're around it, and we're surrounded by safety and prosperity and security, and life couldn't get any better than this, and Jesus wants to come along and say, no, there's more. We see that in Nathaniel's calling. We see that in his life. And church, I don't know today what it looks like for you, but my prayer for you today is the same prayer I prayed this morning for our four at NYC. Lord, call them out. Lord, call me out. Get me out from my bubble, from my comfort, from my security, from my perceived peace, so that I can follow you and not live the rest of my days under a fig tree. And gang, my hope is that would be a very scary, dangerous conversation for some of us. Literally, that some of us, in light of God's call on our life, would go a new path in our career, would go a new path in our relationships, would go a new path in our spending habits, would go a new path in our living situation, would go a new path in our geographical situation.